One of my most favorite things about doing this podcast is when we get to partner with a new advertiser and they send us their products. And this one in particular got me excited, Angela. We got a whole box of 7th Generation products.
I was so excited. Josh was so excited.
7th Generation wants you to know that human nature is messy, but nature can help us embrace it.
7th Generation laundry detergent lifts away tough stains with the power of bioenzymes.
Yeah, and really good smelling bioenzymes, everyone.
Yeah.
That's the power of 7th Generation.
Find laundry detergent and other laundry products at 7thgeneration.com.
Make your home a happy place with Wayfair and become a new resident of the Waberhood.
Oh, I get it, because Wayfair neighborhood. Waberhood.
Yep.
Oh.
Waberhood. It exists in every zip code because Wayfair helps everyone create a home they love.
You know, we're giving Isabel's room a little zhuzh because the last time we decorated her room was in third grade, and she's a freshman in high school. So we just got her a new rug from Wayfair. She loves it.
And didn't you send me a picture of a really cute little side table as well?
Yes, we're redoing her room with Wayfair.
To find your own happy place in the Waberhood, just visit Wayfair on their website or through the Wayfair mobile app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
We were on The Office together.
And we're best friends.
And now we're doing the ultimate Office rewatch podcast just for you.
Each week, we will break down an episode of The Office and give exclusive behind-the-scenes stories that only two people who were there can tell you.
We're the Office ladies. Hello.
Hi there, you guys. I'm so happy to be here today.
Especially happy to be here today?
I don't know. I'm just feeling real thankful.
I'm in a good mood, too.
Oh, man. Well, buckle in, everybody. You got two happy ladies this morning.
We're talking about Ultimatum, which was season 7, episode 13. It was directed by Dave Rogers, and it was written by Carrie Kemper. She is a new writer this season, and she is the sister of Ellie Kemper.
Those two gals were so fun on set together. You could just see their, like, sisterhood, and it was so cute.
They send out a joint Christmas card every year with their kids on it, and I can't wait to get it.
It's so creative every year. One year it was our favorite. We voted, you know, which was our favorite card, and it was theirs, and I texted Ellie.
Was it the computer one?
Yes!
It was great.
Yeah.
It was so great. I believe The Office was Carrie's first staffing job. I'm sorry, Carrie, if I'm getting that wrong, but I know that after The Office, she went on to work on Silicon Valley as a writer and producer, and she most recently worked as a writer for The Rehearsal, which Lee loves. I have not watched it yet.
I haven't seen it either.
Getting rave reviews.
Okay.
Would you like a summary?
So much.
All right. After much anticipation, Michael loses his cool when he learns that Holly did not enforce her ultimatum deadline and that she is still dating AJ. Pam tries unsuccessfully to help everyone make and keep New Year's resolutions, which Michael turns into an opportunity to shame his employees. Meanwhile, Daryl gets Dwight and Andy to drive him to the bookstore under the guise of picking up women. But really, he just wants some new books.
Yeah. Let's see. Should I guess a fast fact? I know you're about to hit me with them, but can I guess one?
Yes.
I'm going to guess a location breakdown.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's all I got.
Okay. Well, I have two location breakdowns. Oh. So really, you got two out of the three fast facts. But fast fact number one is called No Gym. We had a fan question from CRT in Denmark and many others who said...
Denmark!
Yeah, Denmark. Coming in
so
from Denmark.
Cool.
I know. Here's what everyone said. We noticed that Jim is gone from this episode. Where is Jim? Love from Denmark.
Hmm.
Yes, it's true. Jim appears in the cold open of this episode, but he's not in the rest of the episode. Here's why. John Krasinski was in Alaska filming the movie Big Miracle.
That Ken Kwapis directed.
Yes! Randy Cordray said that a request was made for John to be able to miss this week of work in order to do the movie. That request was approved by both Paul and Greg. Now, in our biz, if you miss a week of work for your reasons, you miss a paycheck.
Yeah.
But if they write a story to support you being gone, they have to pay you. So... the producers arranged it so that he could pre-record the cold open before he left. So he appeared in the episode. But also within the episode, there was a story point that Jim had to be away all day on a sales call.
I also found something in the candy bag alts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the scene where Michael goes to Pam and is like, Pam, will you talk to Holly? You know that scene? There were candy bag alts for that scene. And one of them, Michael says, well, if you won't do it, what about Jim? And Pam says, Jim is sick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I remember shooting a scene where he called Pam on the phone. I totally shot my side of that scene and they were going to add his voice later, but it ended up getting deleted. So
yeah, no Jim in the main episode.
That's right. But John Krasinski got to make his movie. He also, they found a way for him to appear in this episode. There you have it.
Do we have a location breakdown?
We sure do. It's fast fact number two. We went on three locations for this episode. We were in a parking lot outside of a strip club.
Oh, yeah.
We went into a bookstore, and then we went into a roller rink. I'll have you know, we shot all of those locations on one day, which meant there was a lot of relocation for the cast and crew.
That's a lot of moving.
It was. I'm going to start with the bookstore.
Okay.
Here's your location breakdown. It was a Borders Books. It was located in Northridge, California. And according to its Facebook page, it was the first Borders Books located in the Valley.
Hmm.
Do you remember Borders Books?
I do.
Same.
They were like a big, big bookstore.
Yes, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little deep dive on them. Here's what I found out.
Okay.
The very first store opened in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it was owned by two brothers, and they specialized in used books.
Love it.
But eventually, their company expanded. They started selling new releases, and they were kind of the first bookstore to do what they called big box bookstores. They had this idea that they really leaned into, that a bookstore could be a place that was more than just buying books.
It was like a place to hang out.
It was a social hub. So they built cafes, they served breakfast, but they also sold music, DVDs, greeting cards. The Borders Books chain was very famous for their number of two-story locations. And in fact, the design of their stores was very meticulously curated. I found an article with the company's architect, Mark Lorty, who said, quote, some border stores featured circular turret towers that would jut out of the corner of the facade, physically embodying some of the idyllic romance and innocence of children's books. They really thought it through.
Yeah, like Pam wanted a tower.
She could go to Borders Books
and pretend it was her tower.
I know.
Her terrace.
Well, Borders Books have since shut down.
Yeah.
In 2011, the company filed for bankruptcy. They think that the thing that led to their downfall was that in the early 2000s, the economy started moving away from brick and mortar businesses and more to web internet retail. And you could just get a book for cheaper on the internet. A lot of people still went to the stores, but they were kind of treating them just like de facto libraries.
Mm.
They would go and browse, and then they would go home and buy a book online.
I don't want bookstores to go away, you guys. Can we all rally to keep bookstores and libraries out there in the world?
Yes, I could not agree more.
I mean, there is nothing more fun than visiting your local library or bookstore with your kiddos.
Especially when they're little.
Oh, it's so fun. You go and you pick out a book together.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even get me started if there's story time. We need our bookstores and libraries.
We do.
Was that a soapbox? Did I have a soapbox?
Angela!
Bookstores?
You had a moment.
I had a box moment.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Well, the site of this former Borders Books that we used was part of the Northridge Fashion Center Mall. When it first closed, it was turned into a Sports Authority, but that closed too, and now it is part of Dave & Buster's.
Oh, okay. And now, are you going to break down the skating rink?
You know I am, Angela.
I'm very excited.
Fast fact number three. The roller rink where we shot this episode was called Skateland.
I knew it.
And it was in Northridge.
I've been there.
You love to roller skate.
I love roller skating.
You roller skate in your kitchen. You roller skate down your street.
There are three pairs of roller skates in like the little cubby by my front door.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've roller skated here for pleasure, not for work.
Yes.
Do Do you know the history of this skating rink? Because I've got it for you.
I don't. I just know when you go into it, it feels very 70s.
Okay, well, it was a family-owned and operated skating rink that was open for more than 60 years, but has recently closed.
Yes.
It closed down because of the pandemic. They couldn't come back.
You couldn't be indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the outdoor skating areas thrived.
Yes.
But the indoor ones took a hit.
Brothers David and Mike Fleming had been running it. David said his father always wanted to be in the roller skating business because that is how he met their mother.
Aw.
Yeah. They met roller skating when he was in the service in Chicago.
That is adorable.
It was a whole business built on romance.
That is so sweet.
David also said that his brother trained Olivia Newton-John for Xanadu at that rink, and that he trained James Caan for the original Rollerball film.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
The brothers sold the space to Ken Kraft, who is the CEO of Hope of the Valley Rescue Mission. I actually follow them on Instagram. They do amazing work. They transformed Skateland into a 107-bed bridge homeless housing facility where people can stay before finding more permanent housing. All of the residents have access to mental health services, drug and alcohol recovery programs, life skill classes, and every resident gets a case manager.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I think about the dad who started the skating rink because based on his love for his wife.
Yes.
What a perfect way to then share that love and compassion. If you're going to sell your company, like, this is the best.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
It's open now, and it's called the Trebek Center in honor of Alex Trebek because the Trebek family donated the first $500,000 to the project to help convert the space from roller rink to housing facility. Alex Trebek's widow, Jean Trebek, spoke at the opening of the center and said, quote, "We all know homelessness is complicated. There is no single pathway to the streets. There is no single intervention that ends homelessness. But here is a single remedy, and it's called love. Supporting another is loving another, and the transformational power of support will surely be known at this site."
That's so beautiful.
It's just what you said. This yeah. property has always been rooted in love.
Wow. I did not see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
About Skateland.
And that finishes my fast facts.
Well, should we go to break?
Well, before we go to break, recently, if you remember, would be the last episode, Santakins visited us.
Yes. Santakins. Oh, I remember yes. Santakins.
And brought us gifts out of the blue. And I don't know if you thought there would be no repercussions to that. You are wrong. So I got you guys something. It's in front of you. You mentioned wanting it one day, and that day is now.
Mm-hmm. Santa Sam! Mm-hmm. Santa Sam!
Cassie,
what did you get us?
There's a little wrapped item on this desk, and
what?
It's heavy, and it is
heavy.
Those are your brass stamps for your wax seals.
Oh, my God!
On the back
Sam?
Of your ender.
Sam!
Oh, my gosh!
Stop it!
Yeah.
Sam, this is so thoughtful!
These have my actual initials
I
on
know.
Them.
I know!
So they're for your wax seals in the back of your scrolls.
Oh, my gosh!
I do have a request. Two things.
What
One,
is it?
I call dibs on first letter.
Okay.
And two, the letter cannot be a thank you for the stamps.
Oh, okay.
It has to be a simple how your day went written in the style of Angela's diary.
All right. I'm going to write you a journal entry, Sam, that mm-hmm. you are going to treasure. Oh, my God. That is so cool, Sam.
I can't wait to wax stamp a letter.
Stamp away for all your Game of Thrones style stampings, Jenna.
Thank you, Santa Sam.
My pleasure.
This spring, there's only one destination for the latest fashion, home, and beauty inspired by real life. That is Walmart. I am waiting right now to get a, wait for it, Angela, hot pink spring dress from Walmart.
Ah!
An influencer on Instagram was sporting this dress, and I was like, sign me up. I get a lot of cute stuff at Walmart, lady.
I know. I love Walmart. I actually just got beach towels.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't use them for the beach. I just like the size because my kids are big. I have big teenage boys. And they were like, these little towels you got us for the pool are dinky. So I got some nice big beach towels from Walmart.
Discover surprisingly stylish new season favorites at Walmart now or shop it all on the Walmart app.
Go to walmart.com/nowtrending.
That's walmart.com/nowtrending.
Now trending. Your style at Walmart.
So this winter, we went on a little ski trip with another family and we got an Airbnb, which was so wonderful, right? Because you can make your own breakfast in the morning. We could even go there for lunch to warm up.
Listen, I always want a kitchen with kids.
Yep.
I don't want to call room service for some sliced apples. I want to have my groceries. I need a kitchen.
Yes. Well, this is why doing the Airbnb thing was so perfect.
Yep.
Well, this family we were staying with told us that they listed their house on Airbnb back in California.
Oh, that's so smart. I know a lot of people that do this. It's like, oh, we want to go to Disneyland. We can Airbnb our place and then use that money to go.
It pays for your trip.
Yep. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money.
So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb.
Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone.
With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick.
It's really kind of amazing.
Yeah.
You just add this stuff to your water,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Extra hydrated.
It's great for daily use before a workout or when you feel run down after a long night out or on a long flight. I just put a few in my purse.
What's that flavor that you like, Ange?
I like lemon lime.
Yes.
Very refreshing.
Okay, so lemon lime from Angela. I like the watermelon.
Oh, okay. Well, however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code OfficeLadies at checkout.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code OfficeLadies at liquidiv.com.
We are back and we're in the conference room because there is a meeting. It's nighttime. None of the regular Dunder Mifflin crew is there,
mm-hmm.
but Dwight is there with the Knights of the Night.
Yes. He explains that the Knights of the Night are volunteer crime patrollers.
Yes, they wear red beanie hats, black shirts that say we are unarmed on the back, and on the front it says Knights of the Night. A few of them have little medals.
Oh, for, I guess, good work.
Good work with their flashlights?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Halpert is going to come into work. He can't find his BlackBerry. And Dwight is convinced that Jim is going to make fun of his group.
Yeah.
Jim has stumbled upon something. He's quite smug, but he ultimately doesn't do anything.
For once. Although I'm sure he's filing it away for later use.
We had a fan question from Celine B. in Century, Florida. Is there any backstory for why the Knights of the Night t-shirts say we are unarmed on the back? And then other people wrote in, Ange, to comment that the Knights of the Night look quite a bit like Devo.
Oh, yes.
I did a side-by-side.
Oh, I love Devo. Remember Devo? Anyone out there? Whip it. Whip it good.
Oh, yeah.
Try to detect it. It's not too late. Crack that whip.
Here you go.
Yes.
That is Knights of the Night along with Devo.
And a great screen grab of Edward Nielsen III from our crew.
Yes, 1 minute, 17 seconds. He is one of the knights. He's in the front row closest to the windows. It was so fun to see him there.
I know.
Well, the shirts and the red beanies were a script note. The script note did not say anything about Devo. It said simply, quote, a man in black walks by in a red beanie, nods to Jim. His shirt reads, Knights of the Night, and on the back, we are unarmed. Jim looks to camera. In the conference room are Dwight and 8 other men, including Nate, dressed the same. Dwight kind of alludes to this in his talking head. The Knights of the Night were a spin on the group, the Guardian Angels, who wore red berets and white shirts with the Guardian Angels logo. They were founded in New York in 1979 as an unarmed volunteer crime prevention organization. So
kind of like a neighborhood watch in a way.
Yes, exactly.
But with outfits.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So that's it.
I feel like mom detectives might call on Knights of the Night.
Oh, for backup?
Maybe.
If we knew Dwight, we might.
Mm-hmm. I recognized a familiar face. The leader of the Knights of the Night is Seamus McCarthy. I've known Seamus for years. We've done improv together. We've performed at Iowa West. He is hilarious. And one of my favorite things about his Instagram, which is I am Seamus McCarthy, is he takes photos of his coffee order and how people interpret Seamus.
His name.
Yes. And there's just a series of photos of different spellings. It's really funny to me.
When the episode begins, we have a Michael talking head. It is January 3rd, 2011, a day that will live in famously.
I looked up January 3rd, 2011.
What'd you find out?
I wanted to know if there was anything infamously about it.
Okay.
According to the internet, first thing you should know is it was a Monday.
Okay.
Here are the top five songs in the USA on January 3rd, 2011. Bruno Mars, Grenade. Katy Perry, Firework. Kesha, We Are Who We Are. Rihanna, What's My Name. And Pink, Raise Your Glass. Kick-Ass, directed by Matthew Vaughn, was one of the most viewed movies. And I Remember Nothing by Nora Ephron was one of the best-selling books.
Okay. The only thing that Michael is worried about is whether or not Holly is engaged. And he's kind of freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do that thing where we think we're doing a private talking head, but the camera's going to pull out to reveal that Erin is there and she's filming him because he's going to make both a sad video and a happy video where he's talking to himself.
Yes, because the only person that can talk Michael down is Michael.
Yeah.
If you notice, the video camcorder that Erin is using, it's a little bit of old tech. And I can tell you who walked away with that old tech video camcorder and still has it to this day.
Who is it?
Randy Cordray.
Randy!
Yes! He said that Phil Shea gave it to him when he left the series at the end of season 7. The camera, the case, the extra batteries, all the lenses, he still has it, and he has used that tiny camcorder for insert shots on other series he's produced. He said, that is his confessional to us, but he agreed that I could share it with you all. So when you want to know what did Randy get when he left, he got this camcorder.
Wow. Well, he also shared that the video footage you see of Michael was really shot on that little camera.
Yeah.
Pam has a big idea. She's coming in hot today.
Yeah, she is.
She has made a giant board with lots of glitter.
I mean, the glitter is blinding.
It really is.
There's
it's
so
blinding
much.
Angela.
There's like a combo Dwight Angela sass in this moment because Dwight says, did your baby draw it? And then Angela's like, the glitter is blinding. They're such jerks to Pam.
Pam wants everybody to write a New Year's resolution and then she's going to display them on her glittery resolution board.
Well, you know who she was inspired by.
Sue.
Sue in Vance Refrigeration.
Yeah. Sue has a motivation board.
Yeah. Jenna, I always look in the candy bag alts to see who had the most alts for that episode.
Okay.
It's usually Dwight.
Yes.
Right?
Makes sense.
This episode, it was Pam.
Were they all Sue talking
heads?
They
were all Sue. And they were must shoot. So you said all of this. Do you want to hear some
yes,
of them?
Yes. I'll see if I remember.
Okay. If Sue can do it, why can't I? Sue's really cool. Sue just goes for it. She's awesome. Sue is like the happiest person I've ever met. I want to be the happiest person I've ever met. I sort of have a girl crush on Sue. I want Sue to be my aunt or my best friend. Actually, I just want to be Sue. And she makes her own sweaters. And she gave me the best sugar cookie ever. And Sue is just awesome. I love Sue. She has three different scissors that cut three different patterns into construction paper. How lame slash cool is that? I just want to steal a bunch of ideas from Sue. Then maybe come up with my own Sue type ideas. Then maybe I'll become Sue. I want to be more like Sue. Everyone loves Sue. And lastly, I just left her office with such a strong impression that I need to be more like Sue.
These are hilarious.
You said all of that.
There was a writer who was in charge of writing alternate talking heads. They would get assigned, you know,
yes.
They'd say, hey, listen, here's the talking head in the script, but write a bunch of alts. And then they'd sometimes put one or two in the candy bag. Clearly, this person was on a roll.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, incidentally, Sue was played by Teresa Brown, who was a lovely woman. Phyllis doesn't like Sue.
Phyllis doesn't like any woman that works at Vance Refrigeration.
No.
Immediately a sworn enemy of Phyllis.
Correct.
Now we have a scene where Aaron is helping Michael assign things to a happy box or a sad box. She has these bags. She's taking all these items out. For those of you guys who love to track things, in the happy box, we have champagne and gummy worms. Looks like maybe some giant, like, gloves. Like, you know, like Mickey Mouse hands. I don't know. In the sad box, there's a sponge, gummy bears, a ukulele, and two bottles of scotch. And there's tickets to see Paula Poundstone.
For the happy box,
for the happy box.
We had a fan question from Jonathan S. in Poughkeepsie, New York. Please tell us everything about the Paula Poundstone tickets. I'm from Poughkeepsie, and Paula was actually there around the time this episode aired. How did this reference come about? Well, Jonathan, I'm not sure why they chose Paula Poundstone, but Paula Poundstone is a comedian, and comedy and humor are how Michael and Holly bond, so I think it makes sense that they would go to see a comedian.
Yes, I totally see that as a perfect date for them.
Yes. Angela, I reached out to you earlier this week with a question.
You did, Jenna.
I wanted to know, what would you put in your happy and sad boxes? And I thought I could think about it as well, and then we would share.
Okay. So here was my question to you that I didn't write you back. I thought we'd talk it out here in front of everybody. Are they objects? Are they experiences?
Well,
like tickets to Paula Poundstone is an experience.
Yeah. I did a combo.
Okay. Well, for me, it's interesting because the first thing I thought of when I really just sat and got quiet about my happy and my sad box, I have an item that goes in both.
What is it?
So when I'm really happy, I love to go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
I love plants, you guys. I'm just going to be that old lady that someday all my posts are going to be plants.
Someday.
Someday.
And it's happening now.
And hummingbirds. So when I'm happy, I love to go for a walk. But when I'm sad, I also love to go for a walk because I walk and I sort of journal internally and I need distance from like everything around me and I just need to get out of my head, get into my body. And so in both my happy and sad box would be a nice long walk.
You know, I had a lot of crossover when I sat down to think about what do I want when I'm happy and what do I want when I'm sad. And I could put a lot of similar items in both as well.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Is there anything else in your happy and sad boxes?
So I thought really long and hard about this, Jenna, because I wanted to do a good job with your question. I felt like you were like my school teacher. I'm like, okay, I want to come prepared.
I've given an assignment.
Yes. And when I really thought about objects that bring me happiness or help me when I'm sad, I don't really attach a lot of emotion to objects. Mm-hmm. It's always people for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a people person. So when I get good news, I want to be around the people I love. When I get sad news, I want to be around the people I love. So I cling to people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to just sort of, okay, what would Michael Scott, you know, put in his box of objects? My happy box, if I got some great news, would probably be a wonderful glass of Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
Maybe a donut. Good news. Let's get donuts. Maybe it would be a hummingbird feeder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. And my sad box would probably be I have a bathrobe. Josh has been like, Ange, you need to get rid of that bathrobe.
Mm-hmm.
It's on its last legs. It has a hole in the arm from when our dog was a puppy. It gnawed a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter to me. It is also, I think, sentimental to me because it was a wrap gift on The Office.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our blue robe that we got. It says The Office on it.
I know this robe.
Yeah, it's really old now. Josh even gave me a new robe for Christmas last year that I don't wear. But when I'm sad, that robe has just journeyed through so much. And I just wrap it around me like a cloak and I get cozy.
It's like your blankie.
It's like my blankie.
Yeah.
So I would put on that robe, maybe make myself a cup of tea.
Okay.
Have a moment.
All right.
All right. So I've got Sauvignon Blanc and a donut and then
cozy
a hummingbird
robe.
Feeder and a cozy robe.
And a cup of tea.
And a cup of tea.
All right. I like it. Well, when I was preparing my boxes, I was reminded of the fact that Michael also has music that he's pre-selected.
Yeah.
For his happy and sad boxes. So I did the same thing.
Oh, you did music.
Yeah. Do you want me to start with my happy box or my sad box?
I need a moment where I need to grow up, because every time you say happy box and sad box, I just want to say that's what she said. I'm so sorry. And when you said you had to prepare your box, I'm sorry. I'm just getting it all out. I'm getting it all out. Okay, Jenna, let's hear about your sad box.
All right, Sam, could I please get my sad box audio?
Of course.
What? Indigo Girls is your sad box?
Yeah. I'm trying to tell you something about my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm closer to fine, but I'm losing it. I'm losing it. So I crank this song. Okay? This is my sad anthem.
I need to hear it all the way to closer to fine.
Jenna, my mom walked down the aisle to this song when she got married couple years back.
Wait! Jenna's sad box is your mom's walk to marriage and love?
Recently, or a couple years back.
Oh my God.
I mean, I find this song to be like very, like, I'm gonna make it.
Like a blanket. I just picture you as a young woman just belting this out. Crawling on your shores.
Drink from the fountains. More than one answer to these questions. Pointing me in a crooked line. Unless I seek
my source
for
some. See? My
source. Closer I am to fine. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so this song is playing, and here are the items that I'm taking out of my box.
I didn't know how much I needed to hear the Indigo Girls this morning. What's in your sad box?
Here's what's coming out of it as we're listening to this song. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
A bath bomb.
Okay.
Facial mask.
Okay.
A clean pair of cozy pajamas.
We're in the same ballpark with the robe.
Box set of Real Housewives.
Oh, that's you.
Some mint chip ice cream. And Angela on speed dial.
Aw, lady.
My sad box, folks.
Aw, you would be on
how
my
I
speed.
How I get through it.
You would be on my speed dial, too.
All right, should we switch gears and head over to my happy box?
I'd love nothing more.
Here's my happy box song.
Yes! Bring in sexy back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Jenna's shimming right now.
All right. Here's what's coming out of my... here's what's coming out of my happy box.
Okay.
I'm bringing sexy back. All right.
What?
Here. There's an old-fashioned... There's a reservation for a tasting menu at a great restaurant that has pre-prepared me a gluten-free menu.
Okay.
There is a dance party playlist of my songs, of which this is at the top.
Okay.
There is a large bottle of water and two Advil.
Because you've had an old-fashioned.
And I'm going to be dancing all night. And finally, Angela on speed dial.
Woo!
There you go.
I love it.
Go I met ahead, Justin Timberlake once.
You did?
Yeah, once. It was backstage.
Were you cool?
At the no.
No,
I
you
was
weren't
a
cool.
mess.
Yeah.
It was backstage at the Emmys. Remember how I would always manage to get us behind that curtain for the presenters? We wrote about it in Office BFFs where we pissed off Lawrence Fishburne that one time.
I mean, listen, to be fair to Lawrence Fishburne, we were devouring food and he was about to go on stage.
Oh, no, no. We were completely at fault.
No, no. We were total. I mean, but yes, you always found these nooks and crannies of famous people and got us in there. And I was never cool.
That's where I ran into Justin Timberlake. I said nothing. I just.
That sounds right.
I just stared. Existed just in stared. The room with him for a moment, oh, and then it was over.
Bless you, Justin.
He doesn't even know.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't even know.
He doesn't know.
How influential Sexy Back is for my happy box.
Oh. Justin, you feel her happy box.
Oh, I knew that's where that was going. All right.
I'm going to step out. I'll come back in.
All right. Should we get back on track
we
here?
We probably should.
Okay.
Erin had a talking head where she says she's excited for Michael either way. He's either going to be really happy or avoid the biggest mistake of his life.
Yes.
Erin just does not like Holly.
At all. And guess who's about to come to work with giant mittens on?
Remove the mittens, woman.
I love the crowd of people that all forms around her and walks her from the front door all the way back to her desk.
I did too. My daughter Isabel, you know, who loves bloopers, gave us a blooper alert here. When Kevin says drops off, Mindy broke so hard on that. It's in the bloopers. I'll put it in stories. Holly is going to realize that everyone knows about the ultimatum. Kelly admits, yeah, I told everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna, there was a Kelly talking head that would have come here. It was in the candy bag alts must shoot. It really made me laugh. I want to read it. Kelly looks to Cameron and says, yes, I told everyone about Holly's deal with AJ. Why do you even ask me anymore? From now on, if a secret gets spilled or malicious lies get spread or someone gets hurt, just put me down as a permanent, yes, I did it. I don't have time for this.
Well, when Holly finally takes off her mittens and she holds up her ring finger, Kevin misinterprets this and thinks that she's flipping him off. So then he flips her off.
This is strike two for Kevin with Holly. First the maple candy, now the finger.
I have two words.
Oh, no.
Standards and practices.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the table draft, they noted that this was scripted and said, please blur Kevin's hands when he gives the middle finger gesture, quote unquote, F you to Holly. Then they reviewed our shooting draft. Scene was still in there, so they said, as previously noted. And they repeated their note. But for some reason, and here's what I don't understand, we must have turned in our editor's cut and we hadn't blurred it yet. Maybe because you don't send it off for blurring. You know, you don't send it in until after you fully locked the episode. But just to be sure that we didn't forget, they said again, blur Kevin's hands when he flips her the bird.
Did they write the bird?
They wrote the bird. They wrote the bird, quote unquote, F you. They like really drove it home. Like, I want you to know.
I just want to know. I want a visual image of who is writing these emails. I so need to see who this person is. As previously stated, I need to see this person.
I know.
Angela Martin would have been great in Standards and Practices.
Oh, that's who works there. There's right? Your spinoff. Angela Martin, Standards and Practices.
No lip flap.
Blur lip flap.
Well, this flipping of the ring finger is going to set off a huge chain reaction. Mm-hmm. Michael is so excited. He runs into his office. It's a full-on celebration.
Happy! Happy!
Happy! Happy! There's music. There's confetti. There's champagne. Like,
start the happy video. He's talking himself down.
It's mayhem. Did we all notice that Aaron gets sprayed with champagne but doesn't look drenched the rest of the day?
I did not notice that. But yes, she gets completely drenched. We got fan questions about it. Teresa M. in Chicago said, I love the scene of Michael and Aaron celebrating. It is pure joy. Did Steve really shake up a bottle of champagne or was it a special effect? It was real, you guys.
Yeah.
And it was all scripted. You know, what they did was they would shoot the top of the scene over and over and over and over and over again. And once they were sure that they got it, then they would move on to the champagne part.
Yeah.
So that's how they do that. But she still did have to change, and they did it more than once. The song that is playing is Kelly Clarkson's My Life Would Suck Without You. Guess how much it costs to play that song for Michael to be happy? So much money.
I want to guess.
It's under $100,000.
Oh.
But still so much.
I was going to say $25,000.
$40,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's one of our more expensive songs. But guess what? It's not the most expensive song in this episode. I'll get to it.
No way.
Yes,
oh
way.
Oh, my God. Listen to how high my voice is. Sorry, everyone that's listening with headphones. Pam is now going to go around and collect everyone's resolution cards, but Dwight refuses to participate.
He's such a stinker.
He says he's achieved plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's resolution is to learn to cook for one. Sad sack.
Yeah.
Angela walks up proudly and puts her card on the board. It says, to make time for romance with the senator.
Mm-hmm.
And that sets Dwight off.
Dwight's resolution is now suddenly to meet loose women.
Mm-hmm. Andy says, I'll take that. And then Daryl says they should go to a bookstore at lunchtime.
He says that he does this bit where he says, hey, what book is that? Cool, let's hang out tonight. Ooh, sex already? Whoa. There was a candy bag alt for this.
Okay.
It's so good. And Craig had several. So whatever his bit was with the ladies, he had a bunch. Here was one. You know what? You guys should go to the bookstore at lunch. Tons of cuties, and it's easy to talk to them. Hey, you know where the sex books are? Want to see if mine's published yet? Girl voice. Damn, you wrote the book on sex? Daryl shrugs. Write what you know. Hi, I'm Daryl.
We got quite a bit of fan mail about this scene. People were really obsessed with the resolution cards themselves. So first up, from Serena M. in Vancouver, Canada, did the props team come up with different handwritings for the New Year's resolution cards, or did the actors write them themselves? I have a very strong memory of Phil handing me several index cards and asking me to write my resolution. And I zoomed in, and when I look at the card, it looks like my handwriting. What about you, Ange?
You know, I do remember. I remember he passed out note cards to all of us. And if you zoom in on the board, you see a lot of different types of handwriting styles. That is mine. And I even recognize Rain's.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is going to go over to Holly's desk. Holly has a new phone, but, you know, you guys, she misses her old phone.
Mm-hmm.
This starts a whole ET phone home bit. I rewound it. I think I watched it 4 times. I was laughing so hard. I did that laugh where you shake, mm-hmm. but you don't really make noise. Like, that's how much this got me. I think because growing up, I loved the movie E.T. I saw it like 8 times. And then my friends and I used to always do E.T. to each other. It's so sweet. I love it. Can we please hear it?
Oh, somebody's got a new phone.
Yeah.
That is neat.
Oh, I got it for Christmas. I'm so out of my league here.
E.T. phone Holly. Holly like phone?
Holly misses old phone.
Why?
New phone is confusing, gets bad reception.
Oh, bummer.
Bummer.
Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces.
Oh, God, please stop.
Poor Kelly. That made me laugh so hard. Reese's Pieces. Oh, my God, stop.
Finally, someone is annoying Kelly.
Right? But then she gets a call on her new phone. It's AJ. They mm-hmm. start talking about movies they're going to go see. It's clear they're still together. She says she loves him. Michael does that slow fade away. He's heartbroken. And did you notice the whole scene? He had the tickets to Paula Poundstone in his hand.
I didn't.
He was going to ask her. I know.
I did not catch that. Michael's really sad now. He's going to go talk to Pam.
Yes.
He's curious, is it possible that she's already dating a different person named AJ? And mm-hmm. that's who she's talking to.
Yeah.
Pam says that is not likely.
Phyllis is going to offer to help. And Michael says, you think she'd talk to you? Phyllis says, why wouldn't she? And he said, that's true. She's really nice. She'd talk to anybody.
Angela. This exchange, this like weird dig, I witnessed something like this happen on the playground.
What?
Between two moms. We were in a little conversation.
Yeah.
And one of the moms said, your daughter is so sweet to my daughter. I just love their interaction. She was complimenting this woman's daughter. And she said, oh, yeah, my daughter's nice to anyone.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? And I saw the look on the original mom's face, and she made eye contact with me as if to say, did we both
clock that?
Yeah.
Just such a passive dig.
It is.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, there's Michaels everywhere, you guys. Well, I think we should take a break because when we get back, the guys are going to arrive at the bookstore, and they're going to devise a plan to meet some ladies.
We'll be right back. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore over 300,000 travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in.
Yes, and Cassie used Viator on her trip to New Orleans.
And yeah, she did that ghost tour.
Yes, she had the best time.
And Josh and I want to do this now. We have a trip coming up this summer, and we thought, you know what? We love adventures, lady.
Well, I was poking around on the app, and I found some stuff right here in Los Angeles. You don't even have to travel. You can become sort of like a tourist in your own hometown.
Well, I love that. Viator can help you plan better travel experiences because with so many to choose from, you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
And that's true. You can look up stuff specific to families, specific to a romantic getaway, specific to different categories. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app.
Find the perfect travel experience for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm very excited because I get to talk about Springfield, Missouri. You know, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. My family has visited Springfield many, many times. It is such a great weekend getaway. It is in the heart of the Ozarks, and there is just, oh my gosh, the best shopping, little local-owned restaurants. There is a craft beverage scene. There is outdoorsy stuff. It's so much fun.
This sounds like someplace I would love, Jenna.
Springfield, Missouri is a foodie's paradise, an outdoor lover's dream, and a family's best memory maker.
I didn't realize there was so much outdoorsy stuff you could do, but I read that you can go hiking, biking, floating, kayaking. And then there's caves, and then there's beautiful views. This all sounds awesome.
Get inspired for your trip to Springfield, Missouri with suggested itineraries, maps, and insider blogs at springfieldmo.org to learn more.
Produced in cooperation with Visit Missouri. We're back. We're in the bookstore. Did anyone else notice at 9 minutes and 59 seconds how much the wind was blowing in the trees outside?
No.
Was this just me?
It was a windy day.
Very windy. I went to the call sheet, Jenna.
What?
Yeah.
And did it say, because it would say wind advisory.
We filmed the scene around 11 a.m. on October 25th, 2010. And the gusts were up to 7 miles an hour that day.
Oh, my goodness.
So there you go. There was some wind.
We had a fan question from Tori N. in Concord, North Carolina. Tell us about Ellen, the bookstore lady. That's right. Daryl walks right up to a woman. She has a tag that says Ellen, and she's going to pitch the e-reader to Daryl. They can hold 10,000 books.
I mean, Daryl is blown away. He says it's so light, it's like a croissant.
Ellen was played by Martha Middleton. She has also appeared on To Tell the Truth as one of the imposters.
Oh, no way!
Yes, and also in the film The Newcomers.
Dwight and Andy are going to start scoping it out.
They've gone upstairs.
Mm-hmm. And a pretty lady is going to walk by.
Yes. They try to pick her up, but she mistakes them as employees. They are doing a very bad job.
They're so awkward.
Guest star alert, that bookstore customer is Ed's wife, Sarah.
Yeah.
How about that? I love how we would have our friends and family on the show because you go back.
And you have all these memories.
Yes, like how our camera assistant, Ed, was in the cold open.
I know.
At the beginning.
It's the best.
We also had a fan catch from Emily J. in Ohio and many others. At 10 minutes and 39 seconds, Angela, did you notice there is a whole display of Joe Bennett's book?
It's
a great detail.
Oh, that's so great.
That little detail was courtesy of Dave Rogers. That was his idea.
Dave, who knows the show better than Dave?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Next up, Phyllis is going to become a mom detective.
She's got a salad to go. She says, Aaron, follow my lead.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to share that she went to Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
I was very intrigued by this. Aaron, who's a horrible wingman, said, so did I. I went to Portugal.
Yes.
And Holly's like, wow, together? And Phyllis is like, no.
Yeah, they're sort of exchanging stories about what's happened over the new year.
Yeah.
They're trying to drag it out of Holly. What happened that might be interesting about your new year?
Mm-hmm.
Holly gets it and she says, yeah. I didn't uphold my ultimatum deadline.
She said, but it was unfair of me to give him an ultimatum.
In the meantime, Dwight, Andy, and Daryl have ditched the bookstore. It didn't go well. Dwight has driven them to a strip club.
He said he is going to see his resolution through today.
I've got a little bit of location information about the strip club Temptation.
Okay.
This was a real strip club in Northridge, California, and it was actually across the street from the roller rink. Our locations manager, Kyle Alexander, managed to find this very specific thing, which was
a strip club
across the street from a roller rink.
That is just crazy luck.
Because I asked Randy, I said, oh, so did we have to make this? Because surely that's, you know. Randy said no, he really found that location. However, he said that the location did not look like a strip club. It was just sort of a gray building. The only sign telling you that it was Temptation was a sign on a pole. So they asked the club, can we kind of zhuzh up your exterior? Michael Gallenberg created that giant Temptation sign.
I have a question. What? Was it Temptation or Temptations? I'm just curious. Just a background catch question for you guys.
I think it's called Temptation.
Okay.
Gentlemen's Club.
One Temptation.
There's only one per customer.
Okay.
You know, there's one giant Temptation, and it's coming into this club
it's
at all.
The flesh.
Yes, that's right. And Michael Gallenberg based that logo on the outside of the building on their real logo. He painted the front of the building a combination of red and gray. Randy even showed us the before and after pictures. It's a great zhuzh, I have to say. Randy said that after it was over, you know, it's in our contract. We have to restore things to their original condition. The managers of Temptation said, no, thank you. Keep it up. We love it.
Well, yeah.
But it is now closed. It doesn't exist anymore. It's an empty building for lease. It's gray again now. So it's a blank slate waiting to be something.
Something new.
Mm-hmm. And incidentally, there is a Temptations nightclub in Scranton, but it is a dance club and bar. There's not no fleshy Temptation.
Right, there's no singular Temptation.
That's right.
Daryl says, hold up, I don't have anything against strip clubs, but I don't really want to go on Monday at noon.
Yes, that's correct.
Andy spots a roller skating rink and says, hey, how about there? Single ladies at the rink. Woohoo!
So they go, and they're the only three people there.
Yeah.
It's just the three of them skating around. Angela, you mentioned the call sheets for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed some notes on the call sheets for this episode.
What did they say?
Rain had to take roller skating lessons
oh,
on two different days.
Buddy.
To prepare for this episode. Oh. So I texted Rain about it and he said, yes. He said, I had to do the lessons because I hadn't skated since the late 1970s.
Well, I did notice that he's the only one with elbow pads and knee pads.
I think that might be why.
He's also the only one that had to then skate outside.
Yes.
I brought something fun today.
You brought more things in? Is it Santakins too?
I'm not prepared for another
round. It's not Santakins. Clearly, I've become now like Carrot Top of the podcast. And you guys can't see this, but we'll put it in stories. I brought my OG roller skates.
What?
That I have had since I was 24. You guys, my roller skates are older than some of you listening. I still skate. Jenna was right. I brought them in, and it's my intention to skate through Earwolf today.
Hey! I like this.
These are old school exterior roller skates. They're great for if you go out on the street. They look really weathered because, guys, I love them. Come on, I'm a kid of the 70s.
It just occurred to me now that there probably is a difference between exterior and interior skates, right?
Yes, these are exterior skates, and they just kind of grip the road better. These are what I skate around my neighborhood in. We can continue the podcast. I'm going to put them on.
All right, so you're going to put on these roller skates, and when we're done with this podcast, we're going to end with you roller skating through Earwolf. You know, today is the busiest day at Earwolf I've ever seen. There are more people here than ever. There's two major conference room meetings happening.
You know,
so I look forward to this footage.
I can't wait. Don't tell anyone in the conference room. I'm just going to skate by. Well, you know, the other day I had come in here on a Sunday to get some work done and no one was here. And I called Josh. I said, babe, no one is here. And he goes, do you wish you had your roller skates? Because he knows whenever I see a big open area, like at the airport, when you have to walk down a long, long tunnel, I'm always like, I wish I had my roller skates.
Oh, I want you to start taking your roller skates with you to the airport. That would be amazing.
I feel like we should check back in on the conference room because Pam is having a meeting to check in with everyone about their resolutions.
Yes. Erin's resolution is going immensely. Her resolution of learning a new word each day.
Yes, Pam tosses her a congratulation frisbee.
Yes, I guess. There's prizes for upholding your resolutions.
Creed is going to share his resolution. It's one of my favorite speeches that Creed gives. His performance is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he says. I want to do a cartwheel, but real casual-like. Not make a big deal about it, but I know everybody saw it. Just one stunning, gorgeous cartwheel. And Pam says, how's it going? And Creed says, I'm having a little trouble motivating.
Well, we had a fan catch from Carolyn M. in Indiana who says, background catch, Stan Lee's New Year's resolution says, quote, be a better husband and boyfriend.
Stan Lee.
Do better at both. She said, I am sure you will all do a New Year's Eve office ladies breakdown of all the resolutions. Carolyn, here it is.
Yeah.
Here is your breakdown of all of the resolutions on the board. Michael, floss. Pam, drink less caffeine. Jim, bike more. Dwight, meet a loose woman. Angela, make more time for romance with the senator.
In parentheses.
Erin, learn a new word every single day. Gabe's resolution was be less squeamish around people's dogs and babies.
What's up with Gabe? He's also terrified of cockroaches.
I don't know. Andy, as we said, wants to learn to cook for one. Creed wants one amazing cartwheel. Phyllis wants to do yoga lessons with Bob.
Aw.
Oscar would like to finish the living room. Meredith would like to get down to 2 cigarettes a day. Kelly would like to get more attention by any means necessary. Ryan is going to live life like it's an art project.
Oh, Ryan.
As we know, Daryl wants to read more. Holly wants to cross train. And finally, Kevin wants to eat more vegetables, which is going to come up now. Because Pam is asking everyone, how are your resolutions doing?
Michael is starting to spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to play out in front of everyone. He really can't handle when people don't follow through and do what they say they're going to do.
That's right.
He's going to take this all out on Kevin, who he says has to eat broccoli. Now, it's going to happen. He sends Erin out to the kitchen. And I have this question. How long have giant broccoli stems been hanging out in the kitchen at Dunder Mifflin?
And other odd vegetables.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We just have to let it happen, guys.
We had a fan question from Lauren H. in Florida. The scene where Michael force feeds Kevin the broccoli makes me laugh so hard. Brian was perfection. I need to know everything about this scene. Did he really eat it? Was this at all improvised? Lauren, everything was scripted. Everything except for one thing. At the very end.
When he spews it everywhere.
Yes.
That wasn't scripted. And those reactions were real.
Yes. And specifically, we had a fan question from Kristen H. in Michigan who wanted to know when Brian Kevin is showing Steve Michael the broccoli under his tongue, is Brian breaking? Kristen, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He was breaking through the filming of this entire moment. It was so absurd.
It was so ridiculous. And also, he was trying not to gag.
Yeah.
How he was able to hold that much broccoli under his tongue and then show Michael and flip his tongue up without choking, although he did almost choke one time, remember?
I do.
Like, we're like, get him water.
It was a very, very funny scene the whole time. In the moment, I could see under his tongue, and it made me laugh every time he revealed it. You might notice they do not have me on camera. I couldn't hold it together.
Well, I was curious about what the most popular New Year's resolutions are each year. And here's what the internet had to say about 2022.
Oh.
Before I list them, I want you guys to know, the survey also said most people bail on their resolutions 2 weeks into the year.
I was going to say, I've heard the statistic that by February 1st, people are canceling all of their gym memberships.
Here's what made the top list of resolutions for 2022. Number one, exercise more.
Yes.
That's the number one. Number two, eat healthier. Number 3, lose weight. Number 4, spend more time with family and friends. Number 5, live more economically. Number 6, spend less time on social media. Number 7, reduce stress on your job. And the last one, to quit smoking.
Wow. I wanted to bring up, Angela, a little brag.
Oh.
For the two of us.
Oh, okay.
I believe being more physically active and getting exercise has been a resolution of our friendship since its inception.
Mm-hmm.
We've chronicled before on this podcast how we have started many an exercise routine together only to have them fail. But I want to brag on us because over the last few months, you and I have both developed a routine. You go to tennis every Friday morning.
Yep.
And I do yoga every Friday morning.
Well, you're not exercising together.
But at the same time on the same day.
Counts. Yeah.
So I'm very proud of us.
I am too. And I'm always so happy to hear your message where you're like, I made it to yoga. It was so great. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, lady, my backhand was happening today.
I'm going to throw down a little yoga wisdom.
Oh.
My yoga instructor says this in every session at some point, and I love it. He says, find that place between ambition and acceptance and hover there.
Oh, I love that.
Find a place between your ambition and your acceptance of where you are right now and hover there. I love it.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I call my mom every Friday morning on my way to tennis because my mom was an amazing tennis player. I spent my childhood on a tennis court with her. She was ranked by the USTA for her age group. She was amazing. So I always call her on my way to tennis and we talk. And before I get off the phone, I'm like, Mom, I'm parking. And she'll say, all right, Ange, go stick it in their ear. So
that's your phrase. That's your Friday phrase.
That's my Friday phrase.
I love it.
At the roller rink, Andy and Dwight are roller skating, but Daryl is hiding on the floor reading his new e-reader. Are you guys curious about what Daryl was reading?
I am. Is there an answer?
There was a candy bag alt, Must Shoot, where Daryl is talking about his e-reader. He doesn't want Andy and Dwight to know about it.
Of course not. They're the paper business.
I know. It read like this. They can never know. I can't leave it in the car. I can't check it with these teenage employees. Gotta just hang on to it. And if I'm gonna do that, might as well read some John Krakauer.
Oh!
That's what Daryl was reading.
Interesting.
This is when Dwight decides to skate over to the strip club.
Mm-hmm. He skates across the street very awkwardly. I think if you need any evidence that Rain
hadn't skated in a while,
here's your evidence. So now Andy is the only one skating. The DJ asks him if he has any requests, and he wants to hear some Dave Matthews Band, Deep Tracks Only.
This was the pricey song?
This is it. Guess how much the song Ants Marching by Dave Matthews Band cost us.
Well, you already said Kelly Clarkson was $40,000 and that this was more.
It was more.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking of such a big number, but that's probably crazy.
$50,000.
Wow.
Randy Cordray wanted to explain a few things about music licensing fees. We actually got a late-breaking email from Randy about these high music fees in this episode.
Late-breaking email?
Yes. Randy said by the time we were producing episodes for The Office, licensing fees had really gone through the roof. He said, back in the day, if you were a popular musician with a good catalog of hit songs, you could make a very good living. Just living off your royalties and your publishing money. But this kind of changed in the late 1980s after the technology shift from vinyl records to CD. He said then Apple computers and early iterations of iTunes allowed anybody to kind of rip digital content from a CD and start sharing it with someone else. So one person could buy a CD but then share it with all their friends. Then, of course, we have internet platforms like Spotify that popped up where music was being shared over the internet. So now, he said, as we moved into the 2000s, artists and the music publishing firms saw film and television production companies as
industry, a way to make money.
Yeah, with really deep pockets. And so they started upping all the licensing fees. He said, so if we wanted a song, we had to pay a lot of money for it. And also, they would charge people differently. He said, the same song on a different TV series, it might go for less money, but we were a hit show. So when we asked for music, we got a big price tag. He said, my long-winded comments boil down to this. $50,000 for Dave Matthews was a lot of money, but it's what he asked for, and it's what we were willing to pay. I'll say this. I am all for artists getting paid for their work.
Yes.
And good for you. Good for you, Dave Matthews. You know, get that coin, fella.
You hustled.
I don't know. Who am I now?
I don't know.
Get that coin, fella.
I'm
a combination of hipster and old lady at the same time.
You're like grandma who's learning some lingo.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Ange, if you thought I was finished with this scene, I'm not.
What else you got?
The guest star DJ at the skating rink was David Ferguson. He's a writer, actor, performer, a longtime writer for Comedy Bang Bang. He's also been on the show Superstore and The Good Place. And finally, if you were impressed with Ed Helms' roller skating in this scene, he was having a good time and he did a bunch of takes of this.
I was so envious of him.
Mm-hmm. He had that whole rink to himself.
I would have just been in heaven.
I know you would.
He's doing a little side to side. I can do that side to side.
Mm-hmm. He did an interview with Screen Junkies after this episode filmed, and he said, quote, I was so insanely sore the next day. It was just one of those things I hadn't done in 20 years, and it hurts. That's what he said.
That's so funny. I don't get sore from roller skating, but, you know, I can't do a push-up, so there's that. Michael knows he's messed up. He's going to talk to Kevin and Creed and apologize, but he wants Holly there, because he's really apologizing to Holly.
Mm-hmm. Through Creed and Kevin.
Creed says he doesn't know if he's ready to accept the apology.
Yes.
He said, sorry there, boss. I'm not sure if I'm there yet. Kevin gives him a huge hug. Holly leaves the room. She's sad.
Mm-hmm. Pam's going to walk out of the kitchen past the resolution board, and she's holding a can of soda. Uh-oh.
What's wrong with the soda?
She gave up caffeine.
Oh, right. Right.
It's the crux of this scene. Kelly's going to notice and be like, what the heck?
Also, Kevin has graffitied Ryan's card. He's made art into fart.
Mm-hmm.
He also then makes a fart noise that then makes himself fart. His look to camera at 18 minutes 49 is so hilarious.
There's a lot of tension over the resolution board. And it's going to come to a peak.
Things are getting heated. Meredith is starting to smoke. Aaron's going to come in and do a cartwheel.
Creed's going to cuss her out.
I texted with Creed about this. Creed said, you have to look at Phyllis's face when I start cursing. He said Phyllis had no idea that he was going to go off quite like that, and her reaction is genuine. He said, and I quote, I was cursing like a sailor. Well, I went to the scene, and at 18 minutes, 55 seconds, Phyllis's reaction is priceless.
That is so funny because this moment was scripted. In fact, in the script, it's written that Creed says, F you, and then F you again, and the second one's in all caps.
Yes.
So they really wanted him to ramp it up.
Yes, but Creed said that he kept going and going.
Oh, boy. Well, lady, guess what? Standards and practices.
Oh, yeah.
They got involved, you know, from the minute that we turned in the script. But this time they had options for us. They said first,
options from S&P?
Options. They were willing to work with us on this one. When we turned in the table draft, here was their note. Please bleep with no beginning or end consonant sounds and blur the visible lip flap. Or stage Creed off camera.
So there's no lip flap?
I guess so, for the fuck mentioned by Creed. Now, standards and practices.
Guys,
how is this
scene working if Creed
is off camera? What is happening? Just some bleeps? Just bleeps are happening? Of course, these notes went through every draft of the script. And at the very end, we got your favorite, Angela. As previously noted, bleep completely and blur the lip flap when Creed says f*** to Aaron after she does the cartwheel.
I want to say one thing to standards and practices. I think you guys type profanity in your emails more than anyone I've ever encountered. So So for all of your rules and regulations, you let it fly in an email.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Pam gives up. She's going to toss the resolution board into the dumpster. Lesson learned.
Yeah. Back at the roller rink, Andy has met someone. He did it.
Mm-hmm.
He met someone named Andy, and he skates like a Greek god.
There was a candy bag alt for this moment where Andy says this. My resolution is to find someone, and maybe I didn't do that today, but I have another resolution. It was almost my main resolution, and it is to exercise my calves. And if today is any indication, I think it's going to be a good year.
Well, at the very end, the DJ is going to offer to put on the strobe light so that the three of them can skate again. Randy told me that the song that was playing during this sequence of skating was Free because they literally couldn't spend any more money on music, so they had to find a track that was under the public domain.
The guys don't have their skates on, and they climb over the wall in socks. Mm-hmm. So they actually dance on the rink floor. They don't skate.
Yes.
But when they climbed over the wall with their socks, they all busted it and fell. Their socks were so slippery on the floor. It's in the bloopers. Of course, my daughter Isabel pointed it out. I'll have to put it in stories because it's pretty funny.
When we go back to the office, Aaron's dealing with Michael's happy sad boxes. And Michael says that his resolution is to never make Holly cry again.
Yeah, Holly is really sad. She's called AJ. She's told him maybe we should just call it off for a bit, you know?
Yeah.
There was a deleted scene where Pam tries to comfort her.
Hmm.
It involves Hank.
Hmm.
It's at Caffeine Corner. And Hank's clearly annoyed that they've picked this spot to have this conversation. And he keeps cranking the volume to the music that's playing to try to drown them out. Listen to this.
Hey, Holly.
Hi.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
How's the cocoa?
It's good.
It's the best.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
I know you probably don't need my advice, but don't feel like you have to make any sort of decision today.
Oh, I know. Yeah, honestly, it wasn't fair of me to give him an ultimatum in the first place. And the whole different cities thing.
Yeah. You know, I thought Jim was gonna propose a lot of times, and I kept on being wrong. But I knew it was the right guy, and that's all that mattered. Can I get my espresso?
Can I get my $7?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. You and Amy and Hugh were having a good time over there.
Listen, Caffeine Corner is not the place for heart-to-hearts, all right? Get your coffee and go.
Well, this episode is going to end with Michael coaching Creed on how to do a cartwheel.
Mm-hmm.
Michael says he'll stay as long as it takes, and then Creed goes for it. He does it.
We got a fan question from Emily C. in Australia who said, I want to know everything there is to know about Creed doing this cartwheel. Was it actually Creed? As a full-time gymnastics coach of 12 years, I'd like to say that while it's not the perfect cartwheel, it is a very good start, especially for a beginner. It has the correct direction and rhythm, which can be the hardest part. So good job, Creed. On a side note, I'm going to see Creed's show when he comes to Australia this year.
Yay! I had to know. I texted Creed. I said, Creed, can you please tell me everything about this cartwheel? He said he actually thought he could do a better cartwheel and he wanted to try again, but they liked his first one, that sort of messed up cartwheel, better. So he thinks this was the very first take. And he goes on to say, it was either one of our camera operators or the director that told me, when Steve as Michael went to shake my hand, I was so pleased that I had done a cartwheel that I didn't even notice. And Steve thought it was even funnier. If you watch to the end of the scene, you can see me look at the camera operator and laugh because I didn't realize he had tried to shake my hand.
I love that.
Isn't that so cute?
That's great. Well, that was Ultimatum. A big thank you, as always, to Randy Cordray for all his inside tidbits.
Yes, and thank you, Creed Bratton, for always texting me about your funny scenes. And thank you guys for sending in your questions and comments. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go roller skate through Earwolf.
I'll be videotaping that, so check out Office Ladies Pod Instagram. And next week, we're taking a break for Thanksgiving, but we will be back the week after with the seminar. See you then.
Gobble, gobble.
Thank you for listening to Office Ladies. Office Ladies is produced by Earwolf, Jenna Fisher, and Angela Kinsey. Our show is executive produced by Cody Fisher. Our producer is Cassie Jerkins, our sound engineer is Sam Kiefer, and our associate producer is Ainsley Bubico.
Our theme song is Rubber Tree by Creed Bratton. For ad-free versions of Office Ladies, go to StitcherPremium.com. For a free one-month trial of Stitcher Premium, use code OFFICE.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.